Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Boone has joined us.
Now, what's all the hugging?
Oh, I know. Well, there's obviously a great deal of concern for Maroon. Just talk us through, Maroon. What's gone on in Wendell? Because you were concerned. You could get a shout out to Maroon a little early for his health.
Yeah, well, we called the game on Thursday night, myself, MG, and Maroon. And, you know, we were doing a pretty good job. And then,
of course,
just before half time, we got a bit concerned about Maroon. He started to get a few pins and needles through his arm, which, you know, so I know it's not funny. And he sort of.
You laughed.
And I was laughing at MG.
Nah.
So from there, and half time came, and we told you to, you know, go and try and get some water. And
what's the real story, Maroon? Yeah.
Well, Tones, if the thing is, mate, like a couple of months ago, he came and slept at my house.
Yeah, I know.
Told everyone that I had two cats with no name and a racist dog. I had to walk the streets and live with that for 2 months. Now he gets on the radio and tells everyone I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah.
My 80-year-old auntie in Singleton, Auntie Faye's been on the phone. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, Adam Reynolds' dad, the love sponge, wants to take me to Prince of Wales Hospital and put me on the machine. Mate, do you think you could just, like, leave my life, just save a little bit of it?
Can I just say this? I didn't bring it up on radio. You actually brought it up on radio saying that MG and I were laughing at you.
Well, why were you laughing at me if you thought I was having a heart attack?
That's a good point.
Like you mentioned your auntie, you mentioned the love sponge and that. The good thing is that a lot of people didn't ring up concerned. You know? In fact, it was the majority of people who didn't ring up. So.
Well, a few people did, you know. Now they've got me jumpy. They've got me worried, Pete, that maybe there is something.
Well, did you go and see your masseuse?
I'm going to the doctor on Thursday.
Not the masseuse. As we were told.
I had an appointment with the masseuse, with the massage guy. I don't know what you call him.
Masseuse.
The masseuse, right? And he said you got pins and needles in your arm because you've got a blockage in your neck. You know, the blood flow is not going from your neck to your arm. So he gave me a massage. I'm as good as gold.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm okay.
The call this afternoon. I have no concern. There's no worries. It'll be beautiful in the commentary box alongside you two gentlemen.
Yeah.
We're all fit and healthy.
Yeah. Well, I'm fit and healthy,
You're saying if anybody shows symptoms of having a heart attack, they should rub their neck or see a masseuse?
No, I am saying, Tones, that I wasn't showing symptoms of a heart attack.
It was just these guys. But then they were all so thankless. They were nasty to you.
I tried to say to them, look, just hang on, just cover me. I've just got a bit of a pain in my arm. Mate, they snickered and laughed and danced around like a couple of little Sheilas. Him and Mark Geyer. And I said to this bloke, Wendell Saylor, mate, I've followed your career. Yeah. I have known you for years, but I learned more about you in that 90 seconds than I know more about you now than I ever did.
It's going to be a good call this afternoon.
You can learn something
it?
About me, Maroon. We have a basic understanding, okay? Yes. If you need mouth to mouth, you're dead.
Saturday Triple M NRL. Stick around for that call.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Thanks to Ream.
If this was last year, this would be the Origin team, but it's 2018, so Peter Sterling's Origin 17.
Yeah, some surprises in here, and we are a couple of weeks out from selection, so I've found it hard to leave some players out, but this would be my 17 as of this afternoon. I would have Tom Trbojevic at fullback. James Tedesco hard to leave out, but I've gone Tommy. My wingers would be Josh Adokar and Nick Kotrick.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I would have James Roberts and Curtis Scott in the centres.
Ooh, okay.
And keep obviously both the wingers are left wingers, so I would keep Curtis Scott alongside Josh Adokar to get that Melbourne connection, and James Roberts on the other side. I'd have Maloney and Cleary as my halves. My forward pack, Jake Trbojevic as the 13, Tyson Frizzell and Boyd Cordner, my second rowers. Front rowers would be Paul Vaughan, Regan Campbell-Gillard, and I would go with Abby Coruscant. That's my hooker.
Ooh, okay.
And off the bench, Jack DeBellin, Tarek Sims, Damien Cook, and I can't leave Josh Jackson out of 17.
Yeah, you love Josh Jackson.
I do. I think when you talk about Origin football, you talk about trust and doing all the things right. And Josh Jackson, I don't think there's a player in the competition that you can trust more over 80 minutes than the Canterbury skipper.
Mm. All right. Tom Trbojevic, even though his form has been down, you think he's done enough?
I do. I don't think you go either. You could go wrong with either Tedesco or Trbojevic. I just think Tom Trbojevic is a little bit better with the football. James Tedesco, not that creative. Look, he was clearly one of our best players last season, and I think he's done well going to a new club this year so far. But Trbojevic through the middle, such a good understanding with his brother as well, and I just feel as though he can offer just a little bit more coming down the sides and looking to put away, you know, centres or wingers.
The suggestion is that your wingers, at O'Carr and Kotrick, will be the wingers.
Oh, really?
That's
what about Blake Ferguson?
Right? No, you know what it's like. You did this last year. You know, yeah, the whispers yeah. get out. And
yeah. I like Kotrick. Kotrick, mate, Kotrick, he won't be overawed by that situation. No,
he'll
be
a tank.
He's unbelievable. He's always been like that. He's been a strong kid. He's always been bigger than everyone else, well, but he's got all the skills.
He plays like a seasoned campaigner. You look at him and you'd have no idea that he's 18 or 19 years of age. He's got a full NRL season under his belt last year, and you just know that he wouldn't be fazed at all.
Who are your centres? Roberts and Scott.
Curtis Scott, yeah.
Curtis Scott's a good player.
And Freddie loves him. Doesn't mean he'll get in, but Freddie's a big fan.
He's a good player. And again, that relationship with Josh Adokar makes it easier for both of them to be there. Latrell Mitchell is obviously the difficult one to leave out. But, you know, I said earlier on the show with Tony Squires that we saw the best and the worst last night of Roberts and Mitchell. And I think that there are parts of Latrell's game that he's still just a little bit too, I don't want to use the word shaky, but too loose in some kinds. And those things get found out at Origin more than anywhere else. James Roberts has a couple of those as well, but his speed, actually, he can actually, if he makes a poor defensive read, his speed can actually sort of hide that fact to some degree. So Latrell was difficult to leave out, but I rate Curtis Scott as a player.
Yeah, and speaking of centres too, and when you got a young centre in that in that environment, also if you're up against blokes like Will Chambers or someone who's experienced, let me tell you, they don't miss you.
Well, this is a brilliant Queensland backline, despite the fact there's no Thurston and Cronk there. Yeah. But you know, having Gagai the player of their series last year, Will Chambers, Greg Inglis back in great form. You've got a smorgasbord of wingers to choose from, and you've got Billy at the back. So they don't get things wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, Maloney, clear of your halves?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand why there's a question mark over James. And again, I said earlier that I'll show you some footage again up at Bathurst and against the Bulldogs of what the concern is with James Maloney making decisions on that edge defensively. But, you know, he's a experienced player. He's been to Origin plenty of times. He is the halves partner at club level with Nathan Cleary. It would make his job easy coming in. And, you know, he's a brilliant goal kicker as well. So he's got attraction.
Coruscant won't be the Origin hooker, but what do you like from him that perhaps, what does he give that a McInnes or a Cook does not?
Well, Cook's ideal off the bench. You know, and again, it has rung with me that the talk about when New South Wales had their great run, it was on the back of Danny Badiris and Craig Wing coming on, and I think Damien Cook can play that role. I think he'll be excellent coming on and suss out tired defenders. Coruscant's just, he's a live wire. I like his service. I think he passes off the ground. Defensively, he's really strong. There's probably not a lot of difference between him and McInnes, but I just think he's a little bit sharper than what maybe Cameron is. I'd be happy to go either way, but I'm a Coruscant fan.
Who's your front row? Campbell Gillard?
Yeah, Campbell Gillard, Paul Vaughan. Yeah. And then, you know, you've got the great ability of New South Wales is to mix and match. We actually played Josh Jackson in the centre last year. He was named, you know, in 11 or 12, I can't remember what it was. But we played him in the middle, and nothing came through the middle there in those first few games. You know? So, but with DeBell and with Sims, and obviously a Josh Jackson, you can interchange, you know, with your centres and your edges. You know, Wade Graham would have been on the periphery for me.
Yeah, it's a bit of a risk, eh?
Left side and a kicking game down that side as well, so you can explore late and kick the ball late, and he does it, you know, very well. But I think, with that hamstring that he's got, that's just getting too close for comfort. So, again, you know, when you're talking about trust at Origin level, there's 17 players there that I'd be fairly trustworthy of.
I like what you got with Tarek Sims. I reckon, I know he was close, you know, years back. You know, I think he was 18th man and he broke his leg. We know that a couple of times. But I just think when players are in this sort of this form, mate, he's zeroing in. He's making one-on-one tackles on outside backs like Tedesco. And, you know, mate, you know, they've got space and bang, mate, when your timing's up, it's like a cricket, it's like an opener when their form's on, like a Dave Warner or someone. And, you know, when they're seeing the book, mate, it's like him at the moment. Everything he's doing in attack and defence is aggressive. He just wants to hurt people.
Well, he's got an intimidation factor about him, doesn't he? And at Origin level, that's wonderful. You know, and if there's a new set of halves coming in for Queensland, to have Tarek Sims coming out at the right time you know, putting pressure on, you know, physically, then he can make it very, very uncomfortable for them.
There you go. You can read Sterlo's team on the website, I'm sure, soon.
And what's been your take on the season as a whole? I mean, what do you take out of this season that you think in the off-season you probably need to work on the most?
Oh, look, we've still got plenty of challenges, but, you know, if you look at 2018 on the high numbers, ratings are up, crowds are up, revenue's up, memberships are up, and really importantly, participation's up. Now, we've still got challenges in participation for boys, particularly 12 to 16.
Why do you think you have those challenges?
Oh, look, every sport has challenges for males 12 to 16.
Yep.
Girls come along, and digital technology is there, and we play a collision sport. So those three things make it unique to us. So we've got challenges there, but in saying that, you know, women's rugby league participation at grassroots up 30% year on year. So there's some really good things happening. Challenges will always be there, but I'm very, very pleased with what we've done this year.
So can I ask this, like, we see the Roosters out there and the Broncos. Is it true per team, the club's $350,000 have to outlay for those teams, per team?
No, that's not quite right, no. They pay a licence fee to us, but that's pretty minimal, that's 50. But I know the Broncos have generated major sponsors on the front of the jersey, sleeve sponsors, all those sorts of things. Clearly, there's cost associated with
it. So will
you
expand, do you think, or will you just keep it at four at the moment?
Look, we made a very strategic decision at the beginning to start slowly, and that's only for one reason, which is the quality of the game. If you put too many girls and women into this competition who haven't played properly, you're going to see not as good a quality product. So we've got to make sure it's an elite product. So we're going to go slowly, but as the grassroots continue to shine, we're going to have more girls playing and we'll have more teams playing.
As we sit, we don't know whether Cooper Cronk will play, as we've discussed already. Mm. Does that sit okay with you in terms of how severe the injury? We heard it's rotator cuff, it's a severe thing. But in the NFL, they have to come out and say, you know, get basically the doctor's diagnosis daily, so we know exactly where, you know, how close he is. Are you comfortable with the people who are walking to the stadium tonight having no idea whether Cooper Cronk runs out?
It's a good storyline. I think I understand the contents of the question. I mean, it's how much information we share, particularly with a game that's being significant amounts of money being wagered on it. In saying that, we made some changes about 2 years ago where you have to name a squad and then within 24 hours of the game you have to move that down to 19. So he has to come from within that 19. I think there's no doubt in years to come we're going to have to look to strengthen these measures, because as more wagering money comes into the sport and more integrity issues confront the sport, you have to be tighter with your processes. So that's something we'll look at. I'm comfortable with it at the moment, but there's no doubt it'll get tighter and tighter in years to come.
Todd, last year we obviously went through the CBA and we saw the model change a little bit, and there was a lot of noise around that. Do you think the game's seen the benefit from that change in the model, having the players have more ownership of the game?
I think we're on a journey here. I certainly don't think we're anywhere near where we can be or should be. We did a deal with the players, which is a good deal for the players, but there's incentive for them to continue to work hard in the game off the field to drive more revenue because we can pay more. So there's incentives in that. I've been a bit disappointed at the back end of the year with some of the issues we've confronted, but I'm a realist to know that from time to time we're going to face these sorts of things. And I think the public, you know, they don't judge you as much on the issue. They judge you on how you deal with the issue. And I want to get better at that.
How do you take a little bit of control there, though, Todd, in relation to getting players to, you know, front up for... It's been the biggest week of the year. Obviously, it's grand final week. Yep. And from a media perspective, it's been really hard to get hold of anyone from either one of the teams. Like, is that something that needs to come back to the NRL, or is that something the clubs need to take on board, or do the players themselves, now that they have ownership in the game, need to put their hand up and say, hang on a second, I need to step up here and just go outside of whether it is club jurisdiction and do what I need to do?
And I think there's four components to that. You've raised three good ones, which is us as the rule makers and the oversight of the rules. Two is the clubs, three is the players, and four is the media themselves. I think all of us have a part to play in this about building more trust and building a little bit more openness between the parties. I'm going to work really hard on that over the next 12 months around media access guidelines, because I think at some point we have to give more to get more. And that has to be the mode of the operation with the players.
And obviously a little bit inspired by what Freddie did at Origin time.
Yeah, I thought that was a great blueprint, really. Now, I know that some people will say it's a short period of time, but you know, the concept of going to the biggest game of your life and simply being told the day before we're all doing media, I thought it was pretty refreshing. And anyone who knows Freddie knows this is how he is. So I thought that was really good, and I think there's a blueprint for others to look at.
But even the young players coming through, we've seen this year, especially Latrell Mitchell, he's gone to another level. But Kalen Ponga, these young blokes, the way they represent the code,
And for years, you've had them doing the university stuff, and obviously, it's all coming to fruition now.
Yeah, we're seeing a different generation come through. I mean, if you watch some of those guys interviewed at Dally M's, you know, that's the education and welfare program that started, you know, 10 or 15 years ago that we're starting to get the fruits of our labour. So we've got to keep doing it. You know, this week, Dean Halitau and Andrew Ryan, who both work full-time for us, had the retiring class, and they had the retiring class with their wives all day Friday, doing a lot of what we call transition, getting the players ready for what life looks like after their rugby league career. And I addressed them all on Friday. I said to them, don't see it as at the end, see it as the beginning. You might have finished your rugby league career, but everything you've learnt, attention to detail, work ethic, teamwork, all those things, the sacrifice you make, you take back into your real life now, and that's the start of this journey, it's not the end.
Todd Greenberg, as we look out here at ANZ Stadium, all the jerseys are represented, but obviously plenty of Roosters and Melbourne Storm. Now, there are two clubs that have featured so prominently at this end of the year for such a long time.
Yeah.
As an administration, what do they get right?
Governance first at the very top. Governance, not a word that's very sexy, but what it really means is they've got good people, good systems, good processes. And then what they do is they put really good people into positions. You know, and both clubs have done that. Both clubs have really good coaches, really good management, good leaders in their clubs, so they've recruited and retained the right people. Rugby league's as much about skill, power, as it is about values off the field. I really believe that good people make good footballers, and I think what you're seeing on the field today is a very strong highlight of that.
What are you going to see on the field this evening?
I think you're going to see a really tight game. I hope we're talking about the players, not the match officials. And I'm really not sure who's going to win. I'm not going to give you a tip. But what I hope is that the absolute best team that deserves to win does win tonight.
And he was saying goodbye to a legend in Billy Slater.
Yeah, he's been a freak, hasn't he? Unbelievable. Cameron Smith tonight breaks a record. You may not be aware of this, that tonight he plays the 36th finals appearance, which breaks Lockie's record.
Unbelievable.
So, phenomenal. And he's, and you know, he'll play again next year and probably pass 400 games in the middle of the field. You know, this time next year, I think we'll probably be saying goodbye to Cameron Smith, which will be an amazing farewell. But tonight's about Billy, and you know, he's been an ornament to the game. Again, I've said this before, not just on the field, because I love watching him play, but anyone who's met him off the field and the work he does and what he's done in Melbourne for the game in rugby league, Victoria, is phenomenal. He'll be remembered fondly by a lot of people.
All right, Todd Greenberg, one more chicken meal for you, I think, this evening. And then
ask for the fish, Tony, if that's all right.
Hopefully you're not in Maroon's room. Hopefully he's not in control of your afternoons.
Yeah, exactly. And before I go, can I say thank you to you, the entire Triple M team, from... You know, the grill team in the mornings, right through to the rush hour through the week, your weekend shows. We'll debate lots of issues from time to time. We may not always agree, but I've got to say, you've been supportive of the sport, supportive of the code, and we appreciate that. We never take that for granted. So to all of you across the Triple M network, thank you.
Congratulations, Todd Greenberg. Enjoy the evening. You deserve it.
Yes.
Triple M, rocking the NRL Grand Final. Stick around. And he gives us a what does the fox say? But MG, you're sitting in the chair.
What does a fox say?
That was a good song, wasn't it? Yeah. I've decided to go a little bit left of centre, and
no, that's surprising.
Sometimes I'm considered the mayor of Penrith.
Oh, yes.
Unofficial, obviously.
And he wears the mayoral robes around.
That's just a necklace I got from Bali. I thought I'd give you some fun facts on Penrith today.
That'll be
just
great.
Gerds won't even know these after his long stint out here at the West.
But he wasn't here for that long, really.
He's, what, 10 years?
14.
Yeah. 14?
Oh, okay, sorry, mate.
You can take the boy out of Penrith.
But he didn't live here, mate. He still lived on the beach, but we can, you know.
Did you accept him when he was here, though?
Did you live here? Where did you live? How long did you live in Penrith?
Yeah, I moved up here when I was 19, and I lived here for a couple of years.
Only a couple?
A couple of years. Then I moved away, then I came back, and then I moved away. So I was in and out for those 14 years.
I've been here for 38 years, mate, so listen to these facts, okay?
Yeah. I'm listening.
Postcode. You obviously know the postcode.
Yeah, of course I do.
What is it?
Oh, I can't remember.
You're kidding!
You're kidding! Isn't it tattooed on your arm?
You are kidding me. Honestly, you
feel like... I can't remember.
Show me.
2750.
2750.
Show me your tattoo.
Yeah, there you go. What do you think?
Okay,
I know where the O is.
Penrith was...
Ron, look at my tattoo. It runs with Ponga.
Penrith was established in 1815 and it happens to be Australia's eighth largest city.
Wow.
With 205,000 residents currently calling Penrith home.
Wikipedia?
How many kilometres from this stadium to... Triple M, do you think it is?
60 kilometres.
Lower.
52.
Lower.
Is this like 45. 3 and 5?
50.
Yeah, 50. Yeah,
50 Ks.
Yeah. Name the odd one out here. All these other people were born and raised in Penrith, but there's an odd one out.
Okay.
Mick Fenning, Jess Fox, Kerry O'Keefe, Nick Natanui,
Nathan Bracken or Richie Benno? Which is the other one out?
Bzz, Tony. Karaoke.
Yes. Well done.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Because I know he's a Cogra boy.
Good work, brother.
Yeah. Richie Benno was born in Penrith.
Yeah.
Nick Natanui was born there. Yes. Wow. Really? No wonder he loves his footy.
There you go.
That's very good.
You know, because I've got it good.
The federal seat here is Lindsay, which is, I don't know who he's in it at the moment. But
was that a question or just an answer?
Oh, just Penrith was named.
Where does Penrith's name come from? That's what I don't know.
Okay, Penrith's named after the town of Penrith in Cumbria, England.
Yes.
And the average age of Penrith, what would you say is?
14.
It's between 32 and 40, the average age in Penrith. I'll tell you, the national age is a 37.
Okay.
But the average age of Penrith is a little bit lower than that.
I would say it's a little bit lower than that.
So I'd say 36.
Yeah, I'd say 35.
I'd say 35.
34.
Oh, no.
Good age. So it's a young and vibrant city, you would say.
Sure, yeah, it certainly is.
On the up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about it.
That's good. That's good, but I enjoyed that.
Okay, the Pioneer Tavern, which I frequent a lot, is about 4Ks east.
Yeah.
Hertz down the road. I'm an ambassador for. Is up that way.
You're ambassador for Hertz.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, actually, Harlene Holden that way.
Because you've heard a lot of it. Hey, MG, can I ask? When we come here, mate, there's a toasty sandwich place down there. They love you, mate. Like
that's Mark Blackburn's son, Blake.
They've got toasties.
Toasties.
There's cheese toasties. Yeah, ham and cheese, cheese
simple
and
but effective.
Yeah, I had that with some CCs before. Oh, beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you're coming into Penrith Park today,
what's your current bar tab at the Pioneer, MG?
What's that?
Really? Just drink for free?
Just four schooners, Lucille, please.
Lucille.
It's good at the Riff, but I like it.
It is. It's a satellite city. Yeah. It really is. It's a satellite city, and we love it out here.
And as we know, we're all going to St. Mary's afterwards, St. Mary's RSL.
ACDC show.
ACDC show, Dirty Deeds.
What's your favourite song?
And we'll all be there.
What's your favourite?
Back in Black. We played it off the top of the show.
Oh, I don't know if it's your favourite. There's so many.
Can
I ask Del and Tony, who haven't, not residents here at any time, what's your fondest memory of Penrith?
My fondest memory of Penrith?
Yeah.
Bondi Junction.
You're an elitist, you are. You are an elitist, mate. You're an elitist. We kick you out of town.
Tony's fondest memory is every time he drives past Penrith to his estate in the Blue Mountains. He goes over the Nepean River he really enjoys it. No, he knows he's exactly halfway there.
Chopper flies low over.
Dale, you've graced these fields many a time, brother, in the Broncos jersey, in the Dragons jersey. When did you have your best performance here on this ground?
Oh, I think I scored a 110-metre try in goal. Yeah,
you did.
I think I scored two that game. But anyway, just scoring tries here. But just the crowd, they just love their footy. When you come here, they just love getting your autograph and saying hello and that. They love their footy, so I love it.
This is the place where you'll sign most old footy cards.
Yep, yeah.
I'll get some blokes who come back after 20 years and go, I'll go, no way. How'd you get this card?
They are fanatic
here. Yeah, they are fanatic.
Love
good
it.
On them.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was excellent work.
Well done.
I'm the Mayor of Penrith. We had Panthers Stadium plenty ahead. Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Thanks to Ream.
He's a sensation.
Right,
I mean, this guy, we've seen him come back from that World Cup and the season that he's had. The improvement from last season to this season has been quite ridiculous, and he's only going to get better. And his performance last week was brilliant. Tonight, he's been one of the Panthers' best in a losing side against a quality Cronulla Sharks pack, an experienced pack, and he's sometimes made them look like boys out there.
A question you'd have to spend some time thinking about: is he a contender for Dally M second row of the year?
Oh, most definitely. He's playing 80 minutes, which is unbelievable. He's a bit like Kafusi at the Melbourne Storm. When he first came to Penrith, he couldn't finish a training session like Kafusi at Melbourne, but now they're two of their better and fitter players.
The Footy Show did a feature on him through the week, and it was quite funny. And he basically came on and said, I'd never heard of Phil Gould, but I was a big fan of PlayStation 4, the NRL game.
Yes.
And apparently the highlights of Gus and Vossi talking about the game, and that's where he'd heard it. And he said all of a sudden,
wow,
Phil Gould's on the phone, and the only way I knew him was from the PlayStation 4 game.